Welcome to part one of the Practice of PDIA, Building Capability by Delivering Results podcast series. This 12-part series, based on a video series used for a PDIA online course, will walk you through the PDIA, or Problem-Driven Iterative Adaptation, approach to solving complex development problems. More than 1,500 development practitioners in 90 countries have used the PDIA approach. In many developing countries, the capability of the state to implement its policies and programs is a key constraint to improving human development. In today's podcast, we have with us Professor Len Pritchett, who will discuss the big stuck and the capability for policy implementation. Welcome, Len. You coined the phrase the big stuck. What do you mean by that?
So it talked about the process of development as a fourfold transformation, where societies and countries get better in four different dimensions. Their economy gets more productive, their polity gets more responsive to citizens, their societies have more equal treatment, and they acquire greater administrative capability. And the purpose of this administrative capability is to be able to provide a better life for the citizens of a country. We're going to focus throughout this course on administrative capability. This is a course about how to build administrative capability. Why are we focusing on administrative capability? Because we feel that administrative capability is in what we call the big stuck, meaning people have been attempting to build capability of states and of state organizations and the administration of public policy for decades and decades and decades. No one has ever imagined that state capability wasn't an important component of development, and many things are being done. But when we look at the results, are we really getting the results out of those things? Well, it turns out when you measure, as best one can, both the levels of capability that countries have today and their progress, it looks like we're not getting to the levels of capability we want with anything like the pace we want. In fact, over the last 12 years, most of the developing countries of the world have seen their measures of government capability retrogress rather than making progress. If you're retrogressing and you ask, how long will it take us at our pace of progress to achieve a capable state that's capable of delivering policy implementation to improve human well-being? Well, if you're going backwards, the answer is it's going to take you forever. It's like you're still in reverse and headed the wrong way. The trip will take forever. So in many countries of the world, more than half, progress is negative. It's retrogress. And in the remaining countries, most of the remaining countries in the world are in either states in which capability is very, very low, in which case these are failed or flailing or fractured or all kinds of F-word states. And then there's a set of states that are making very slow progress. So even though progress is positive, in order to achieve even a minimal threshold of capability of the type that developed countries enjoy, even at a minimum threshold, it would take them more than 100 years to get there. We find that very few countries in the world today are on a pace to have adequate capability for their states in less than 100 years. The purpose of this course is to accelerate that progress and get countries out of the big stuck in state capability.
Thanks, Lent. I've heard you say you need to ask the Dr. Phil question. Can you please explain to the listeners what that means?
Now, what's the Dr. Phil question? This is a cultural reference. So on a popular American daytime television show, there's a self-help psychiatrist that takes calls from callers and answers their questions. Now, what the typical structure of a Dr. Phil call is a person calls with a problem. And they say, oh, this is happening in my life, or I have this trouble at work, or I have this trouble with my son or daughter, or I have this trouble with my spouse. And they describe their trouble. And then Dr. Phil's first question is, what are you doing about it? If you say you have trouble, well, certainly you're trying to solve the problem. And then they list all the things they're doing. It's not like people are passive and not trying to solve their problem. And then this is the important Dr. Phil question. Dr. Phil says, how's that working out for you? Now, the obvious answer is that if you're calling in your problem to a daytime talk show self-help psychiatrist, it's obvious that whatever it is you're doing is not working out for you. Matter of fact, life generally might not be working out for you, but that's beyond the scope. But Dr. Phil's question is very important. How's it working out for you? So when you start talking about building capability, many people's response is, oh, we're doing that. We've got this training program. We've got these qualifications. We're undertaking this organizational reform. We're doing lots of things to build state capability. We want you to ask yourself the question, how's that working out for you? Ask yourself, if my country has been 60 years as an independent country and still has basic problems with public administration, whatever the techniques you thought you were going to use to get to high capability probably isn't working out for you, and you need something new, and what we're going to provide you over the course, over the extent of this course, is something new, something that's different and a different way of addressing the capability issues you're facing.
You always manage to get a point across in such entertaining ways. So if capability is in a big stuck, can you explain to our listeners how the capability for policy implementation is created?
So the first thing is a policy is a mapping. It's a mapping that says, if this is the fact, do this action. So a policy is, if it's raining, open an umbrella. If it's not raining, don't open an umbrella. That's facts about the world that specify what actions to take in the when that's the fact. Now, the complicated thing about policy implementation in a public setting is that often the fact has to be administratively created. What is the relevant fact isn't necessarily the brute fact of the world. It's the fact as it is constructed into an administrative fact by the very policy-making apparatus itself. So let me give a concrete example, a tax. If I have a property tax, what a property tax says is if the value of your property is this, you owe this much in tax. But the value of your property is as it is declared and administratively adjudicated for the purpose of the tax. It may have nothing to do, in fact, with the value of your property for other purposes. So we need to, but the tax authority both has responsibility for declaring and creating the administrative fact of the value of your property and then taking the appropriate action. Here's how much tax you can collect. Now, what happens is when organizations have low capability for policy implementation, they often lose control, essentially, of the administrative facts, and therefore the actions never follow. Not because the actions don't follow what the administrative fact is, but because the administrative fact itself becomes a fiction. There's a great example in a study that was done about trying to increase the attendance of the low-level healthcare workers, the auxiliary nurse midwives in the state of Rajasthan. They weren't showing up to the sub-centers, and since they weren't showing up, people weren't coming, and since people weren't coming, they weren't getting the healthcare services they needed. So a team of an NGO working together with a government and a group of researchers designed a program that would say, we're going to hire a new set of auxiliary nurse midwives, and these nurse midwives will only get paid their full salary if they're if they're not absent more than 50% of the time. So seems really clear. The nurses show up. If they don't show up, they don't get paid their full salary. This should motivate the nurses to show up. If the nurses show up, we'll get people to the clinic, we'll improve health status. All a very clear logical chain. What happened? What happened is, by 6 months into the study period, they found that the administratively declared absences of the nurses had gone way down. So there was much less recorded absenteeism. So you think victory. But the study team was measuring the physical presence of the nurses at the clinics at the same time. And you know what? Presence of the nurses went down. Now you might think, well, wait a second, either the nurse is present or they're absent. But that's, you haven't worked in a bureaucracy long enough. There's a third category, which is the nurse is not physically present, but she's not absent. She's declared that she's not required to be there as part of other administrative responsibilities. What had happened is once you put pressure on the nurses about the fact of their absence, you created this whole secondary system in which the administrative fact was the nurse wasn't absent. The fact of the matter was she wasn't present to deliver health care either, and the whole program, the gap between the facts on the ground as perceived by the actual users and the administrative effects as declared about the absence. So the nurses diverged so that both presence went down and absence went down, and you were actually in a worse situation because you had lost control, essentially, of the gap between the administrative fact, which was now a fiction about actual presence, and the facts on the ground that were relevant to the delivery of the service. So the capability for policy implementation needs to be able to get your agents responsible for creating the administrative facts to declare the facts to be what is relevant for purposes of accomplishing the objectives of the policy.
Thank you for listening to part one of the Practice of PDIA podcast series. Tune in to listen to part two, where we discuss the techniques of successful failure. To learn more, visit bsc.cid.harvard.edu.